Thank you. My name is Jamie, and I'm an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA, and since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which would more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons, Phil and Dino, have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and or understanding. Marguerite will read the preamble.
Hi, I'm Marguerite. I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Laura will read the steps.
One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Christine will read the traditions.
Hi, I'm Christine. I'm an alcoholic. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you. The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Jimmy.
Hi, my name is Jimmy. I'm an alcoholic. Hi. Wow, hello. So, Jero, I would like to thank you for asking me to do this. And I said I was an alcoholic, right? Yes. I have a sponsor. His name is Nye. He's here somewhere. And I am on the working on the 11th step. I'm also working on 9 and 10. My sponsor has a sponsor. His sponsor has a sponsor. Both of them are members of the Atlantic Group, as which I am as well. And so, Nye, can you raise your hand? I can't see you. There you are. Thank you. Okay. I just needed to do that. Sorry. So I was asked to share in a general way what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I've asked God to speak to me and through me to help me do that. So what it was like, it was awful. decades of, it was pretty bad. I come from an alcoholic family. It was terrible chaos and all that business, but I first came into the program in 1983. I was 19, and I got sober for a year, and after that, I've been in and out of these rooms quite a bit. I've done it in every way imaginable. I am powerless over alcohol, and I have always been powerless over alcohol, and I can't think of any examples I was supposed to tell you. I guess I have the alcoholism is runs through my veins. I believe that I was born this way. I have always felt different. I've always wondered what was wrong with me from when I was maybe this big, very little, if you can't see me, till present day. Just always, there's like all of you are one thing and I am something different. And you don't understand me and you will never understand me and you have no idea what it's like. That's my mantra and has been for a long time. And but I know how to fix me and I know what's right for me and I know what I'm willing to do and I know what I'm willing not to do. A lot of things I'm not willing to do. Never have been. It took a while. It took decades, as I said. But in 2007, I was at a meeting, and I was still drunk, and I was—I really was not very looking very well. I think I was at that point maybe about 130 pounds. I don't know, and it's scabs, and I had an odor, and you know. But anyway, I was at a meeting, and this man named Rajesh came up to me, and very, very exuberant, very, you know. Energetic guy, and he said he would like me to come. He said he would like me to call him the next day, and I did. And then he said he would like to bring me to a meeting, and he brought me here to the Atlantic Group. And that was my first introduction to the 12 steps. After all of these years, I had never read the big book. Is this the big book? It sure is. I have a few of these at home. But anyway, so he was the first time. It was the first time that I had begun to work the steps, and he spoke to me about things like truth, and he spoke to me about responsibility. He taught action, things that I knew really very little about, and I knew about fellowship, and I knew about storytelling, and I have thousands of stories. I can't remember any of them, but you don't need to hear them. It's a the thing is One point, that Rajesh spoke to me about, and then subsequently his sponsee, Nye, who is now my sponsor, also that spoke to me about God. God was not a conversation I really ever wanted to have. I've always believed in God. I never thought that God believed in me. I had a lot of ideas and thoughts about God. And I was asked to put all those ideas and things that I knew or thought I knew away and try to go through these steps and see if I could, you know, maybe re-meet God. God is the one thing I've been missing all along. But things change. I was brought to my knees, finally. I finally really... gave up. Is this what happened? No, I don't know. So what happened really was that I couldn't do it. I could not. I had been detoxed. I think it was 12 or 14 times. I had been through four. Well, I walked out on one. 3.5 rehabs, full on rehabs. And I'm on Medicaid, and I was not allowed to go back into a detox unless I went through an ER and went to a psych ward, and I was not willing to do that. So Nye said to me, if you will not pick up a drink for 24 hours, I will help you. That's probably the only thing I ever did, and, you know, I thought about it earlier today, and I actually didn't do that alone, because he said some things to me, like during that 24-hour period, he said, you don't ever have to feel like this again. You do not ever have to feel like this again. I'm sure a lot of you know the detoxification process. If you're doing it on your own, it's very dangerous. I don't recommend it. It's very painful. It was like someone peeling the skin off of my body moment by moment. But I didn't ever have to feel like that ever again. Okay. I believe you. I came back into the Atlantic Group with Nye as my sponsor, and we started immediately working the steps. One, powerless over alcohol, unmanageable life. Absolutely. I don't know how to stop drinking. I don't know how to stay stopped drinking. I don't know. You know, finally, like, you know, because I kind of know. I know a little bit. I know. I didn't know. I don't know. So Nye showed me what to do. We spoke our first few months together. Probably 5 or 6 months. We would speak about 6 or 8 times a day, and it was basically I would get up in the morning, and I didn't know how to eat, which I, you know, one of the many things I didn't know how to do, and so I would eat breakfast, and I would call him after that, and we would talk about which meeting I would go to, and I would go to that meeting, and I would call him after that meeting because I could not get through the day. Anyhow, all of this to say. We got into the steps immediately, and I had issue with, as always, things like prayer, things like turning it over. I did not know how to turn my will and my life over to the care of God because I didn't understand God, but I was told that I didn't have to. All I had to do was act as if. So I would get on my knees and pray every morning, and I would do it at night, and I would do it during the day, and I thought, this is really dumb, nothing's happening, oh my God, you know, but I would do it, and I would pray, and then it was like, I remember one day, I was like, wow, you know, this is like, I think like 40-some days I've prayed on my knees every single morning, you know, and no one's recording this, and I'm still doing it, okay, yeah, like, why would I do it? But I did. So, anyhow, I did not know God, and I didn't understand God. What I found, though, was in this room, I saw God. You know, I saw God in all of you. Because I would listen to a lot of you who would come up here and tell your stories, and I know what you're talking about. I feel it. I know. And I would look at you today, and you're like, you know, you look great. You're successful. But you're still afraid. You're still afraid, huh? And you know how to deal with that? Really? You pray and you get through that fear? Really? Are you kidding me? I want some of that, you know? Because I walk into a room and I am terrified and I need help to get through that because I can't do that on my own. I don't know how. All I know how to do is like go home afterwards and hurt myself. Okay. I have a minute left, so... Yeah, it went faster than I thought. It's pretty funny. But the thing is, so I learned to turn it over to you because God was within you and you were my sponsor. God lives in my sponsor and my friend Amy D., you know, taught me a lot about friendship, about, you know, showing up and about, I saw God in you. I'm saying it over and over. I could turn it over and do what you told me to do. And I do that every day, and I complain a lot, and I have a problem with everything. I really do. And I am afraid of everything, and I'm afraid of everyone. But we have tools here to deal with that, and it's awesome because there is a solution for everything here. There is a solution in this book for everything. Everything I've encountered so far. I know you're going to say goodbye, but everything. It has yet to fail me, and God, I can't say enough about. But thank you very much for listening to me. I hope I was helpful to somebody. Bye.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Jeanette. Hi, everyone. I'm Jeanette, and I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is February 21, 2008, and my home group is Common Solution in Staten Island. And I will say that the power that alcohol had from the beginning, I actually welcomed it. It allowed me, from the beginning, I remember it allowed me more comfortable to speak to people. It allowed me to, I felt prettier than I thought I was. It was necessary for me to go out on a Friday night. It was necessary for me to ride a roller coaster. It was necessary for me to be intimate. You know, as years progressed, it was necessary for me to, on every Friday and Saturday night, whenever there was a family gathering, eventually it caught up with me, and my family said something to me, and I went to a rehab. I will say, after this rehab, I did not drink for 6 years, and I just went to meetings. But as I said, alcohol was necessary for me to do so many things. I did not learn how to do these things without alcohol. I was miserable. I'm a married woman now with a child, and being a mother, I was nervous driving with him in the backseat of my car. I was nervous going shopping with him. I hated when my husband went out to have a drink. I hated when he came home drunk. He had to sleep on a different floor of the house. I was of no use to anyone. I could not understand. I resented. I wasn't taught how to deal with my resentments. I quickly did my 12 steps with a so-called sponsor. I attended meetings and celebrated 6 years of what I thought was recovery. Eventually, I relapsed. The power that alcohol now had was horrible. I lost my husband and my son within the first year. I lost my job, my house, all my money. I lived alone. I would do anything for alcohol. Every part of me was, the power of alcohol was necessary not only for me to go on a roller coaster, but it was necessary for me to brush my teeth. It was necessary for me to walk. I have, alone with no job and my family looking at me, this is insane behavior. You know, one year I'm in this beautiful house, the mother and the wife, working on Wall Street, and the next year I'm alone in a dark apartment. All my assets are taken away from me because they say I'm a danger to myself. I haven't seen my son, and my husband divorced me. That is insane. I understand my parents. They say, how could this have happened? My mother, in anger, would bang my head and say, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? You have to be mentally ill. I learned later that I'm an alcoholic. And eventually I crossed that line, and I needed to drink. It was necessary for me to drink. I can't describe to you, I don't need to describe to you. The need of alcohol for me was beyond what I ever thought imaginable. I would do anything. I would crawl through windows of people that I knew that weren't home if they had alcohol in their home. I would rob change from people so that I can have $4.71 to buy a pint of Georgia the next day. I would plead with the liquor stores to please just get me through because I cannot function. How did this happen to me? I couldn't understand it. And this didn't go on for just a year. It went on for 4 years. 4 years. I had to leave every apartment I was in because I was not wanted. You know, I was known as the alcoholic in the building. I don't have to tell you what my poor son,
I was absent from his life, not allowed to be with him. I could not stop drinking from my son. No human power. I love my son more than life, and if he was standing here right now, he would tell you the person who loves him the most is his mother. He's the last person I spoke to before I got up. He texts me, good luck, I love you, Mom. He's my life. But I could not stop drinking for him. Crawling in, and I mean crawling, because my last drink led me to, I was paralyzed. I was alone in my apartment, and I was literally paralyzed. I could not open my hands. I couldn't dial 911. I couldn't get a bottle open, much less change. I couldn't walk to a liquor store, so I was stuck. And I prayed for the first time, and I really mean a prayer, and say, God, please, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. With my nose trying to hit the phone and anything in my power, banging the door because I couldn't use my fist. I couldn't lift them past my side of my body. Nobody came to my help because they just assumed she's drunk again. I will say that I accept it as one of my many spiritual experiences. That was the last day I ever drank. I went to a meeting. I'll never forget, it was 10:30 at night, and I made sure I didn't leave before that time because the liquor store was closed. And I knew there was a meeting up the block. And that's where I met my sponsor. I had no idea the journey that was going to go ahead of me from this moment on. I had no idea. This woman didn't know me. She followed me. She followed me to a diner. I was alone and I was cold. It was in February, as I said, and I was hungry and I couldn't eat. All I wanted to do was drink. And she followed me and tapped me on the shoulder, and I didn't know this person, and she sat and spoke to me. And I'll be honest, in the beginning I was frightened because she spoke a lot about God. And I am just trying to understand and so afraid of drinking that I couldn't hear her. And I asked her, I said, can you please talk in words that I can hear you? And she did. I believe she would have tap danced for me if it was necessary for me to understand. I did balk in the beginning because I didn't know this woman, but she invited me into her home. And I knew I needed to learn a way. Now, how am I going to, because now I resent everyone. Everyone is angry at me. I still am without my money, my finances, my son and my husband's gone. Now I have to live without the alcohol, which I knew all my life how to use for everything. And slowly, with a lot of hard work, she showed me to believe that there's a power greater than myself. You see, I can swallow that. I can go to bed at night and say, yes, I couldn't get sober from my son, but I could for God. I'm not going to say I can't get sober for my son, but I could for a group of people. But I could for God. That I could swallow that. I can lift my head up with that. I could understand, you know, I could explain that to my son. I could say to him, James, mommy just needed to find God in her life. And he could understand that. He can accept and swallow that. He can love me still with that. And I can teach him how to use God. And how to live good and honest and compassionate. Instead of resenting my husband for drinking, now I love him and understand him. And there's so much more that's being done in a divorce than drinking. I mean, I have compassion for him. I've shared this many times in meetings. I feel for him because I always feel like I was the person driving in a car. I crashed it. I got out safely and he didn't. I got recovery and he didn't. And he's angry. And I, as a person in recovery, can understand that. I, as a person in recovery, can love my mother when she repeats herself 50 times. The power that's been given to me by the power of God and goodness and a simple way to learn how to live with these 12 steps is beyond my wildest dreams. And every day, every single day, is a new experience. How am I going to use God today in my life? I might be hurting emotionally, which I am right now, but how can I use God in my life? My sponsor gives me a specific direction, help another alcoholic. She gives me a specific direction, when you have any thoughts of drinking, God, remove the thought. I say, God, remove the thought when it comes to alcohol, when it comes to men, when it comes to shopping. God, remove the thought. I immediately go to God. It's an automatic thing for me now. I immediately go to God. My son, I will tell you, years ago said to me, Mom, go somewhere. Get out of my face. Go somewhere. He said to me a year in my recovery, Ma, go to God. Go do that thing that you do. I can't. That is a gift. That is a gift. My son texts, I love you every single night. He's 14 years old. That is not from me putting the drink down. That is from he sees the way I am. He rubs my hair. You know, he the other night he tried to pick me up and bring me to bed. I bring him up because it's beyond my wildest dreams. This could not have been given to him. I know it. If I did not have this way of life, it's by the lessons of this way of life and my compassion for others. It's by being taught how to pause and how to listen, how to pray, and how to be patient that I am the mother I am today, that I am the woman I am today, that I could say I'm in recovery today and not be so afraid of alcohol. I no longer fear alcohol. I want to say thank you very much. This was a very, having a year and a half sober and being asked to do this, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. I love this program. This is a wonderful group. It amazes me how many people come together and the recovery that's here. I just, I look forward to my journey. I thank you very much.